Welcome to the Probate Podcast, where we talk about all the things you didn't know you need to know about probate. My name is Sherry Lund, and I'm so glad that you're here. I want you to understand the process and to know what to expect, because it's going to make things easier and it's going to save you money. And I'm here to show you how. Hi, my name is Sherry Lund, and I'm back for another episode on the Probate Podcast. And today I'm excited to have Penny Parker from Phoenix. That's a lot of P's in that sentence. Penny and I have chatted over the past several months, and she's a delight to be around. I'm excited to have her here today. Normally, or I should say up until recently, most of my interviews and podcast episodes have been with local people. Penny is obviously in Phoenix, and so she has some interesting things to talk about for probate and real estate and those kinds of things that I think you will enjoy. So, Penny, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
So let me tell you a little bit about Penny. Penny's a real estate agent with Keller Williams Arizona Realty. She has an impressive track record that spans over a decade. She's from Phoenix, and she possesses an unparalleled understanding of that local market. Penny's expertise lies in assisting seniors in downsizing to homes that perfectly suit their needs. She also provides support with trusts and probate properties. Penny has extensive experience in facilitating 1031 exchanges for investors. Her clients value her meticulous attention to detail, her unwavering advocacy, and her genuine commitment to her community. Penny consistently goes above and beyond to simplify and alleviate the complexities of selling a home and settling an estate, ensuring a stress-free experience for her clients. Penny has a diverse background that encompasses over two decades in the antique business, and she established an estate sale company with her mom. She has a certification in life coaching as well as real estate, and she brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise to the table. That's the truth. Furthermore, Penny and her husband own rental properties that serve as supplemental income for their retirement. Penny's profound understanding of the real estate industry is second to none. Her can-do attitude radiates positivity and leaves a refreshing impression on all those that she interacts with. And I can attest to that. So this episode is going to be a lot of fun with Penny on it. Again, Penny, I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you again for having me. It's a pleasure.
If we were to meet up in a Phoenix park, Phoenix is lovely. I don't know about this time of year. You said it's very hot right now, but I was in Phoenix in November and it was lovely. So if we were to meet up at a park and I said, hey, Penny, tell me a little bit about you as a person, what would you tell me?
Well, goodness, that's a fun one. Gosh. So I love to travel. I have rescue dogs. I don't have any children. So they're my children. They're all seniors, by the way. I have senior rescue dogs. And I'm newly married. So been my second time around, and this is the forever marriage, and just excited about life. I'm in my 50s and it's so freeing. It's great. Like, I have nothing to complain about. Let's put it that way.
I saw a post probably a few months now, but you had a rental property and a candle caught on fire. And so you have episodes where like life gets exciting, but it's all good.
Yeah, it was all good. And then shortly after that, at another one of our rental properties, we had a flood. So the little bracket behind the toilet came off, and the young lady that was renting it didn't know how to shut the water off. So she called 911 and they walked her through, because it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, you live and you learn. And now that I know, when I walk people through our rental properties when they first rent them, there's no candles. And then I show them how to turn off the water and the electricity.
You learn by doing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Sure, it's all good.
So you've got an interesting story and you've got a fascinating background. I love the story with your mom and how you guys started in North Carolina. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I started in the antique business. My mother had always been buying and selling, and I grew up that way. Like, I was doing my homework at auctions, and it all happened in the Phoenix area. I started a little business when I was 18. Well, let's just say not quite 18, but a little bit older. And so my mom and I had a pretty fantastic business selling mid-century modern here locally in the Phoenix area. And then we could buy great because we're surrounded by the 55 plus communities here, Sun City, Sun City West. They're just surrounded the whole valley. And then we started trucking our things to LA and San Francisco. So that became the core of our business. And then I got married and my now ex-husband was from North Carolina, the Raleigh area. We ended up moving to Raleigh. And my mom and I like huge pieces of furniture, not like little pieces of jewelry or anything like that. Bill, my mom couldn't do it on her own anymore. Bless her heart. She's still doing great at 75. So we started an estate sale business for Burr. We had been to hundreds of estate sales. So we took what we loved about the different ones that we went to and all that stuff. And it just took off. She does fantastic with it. She's semi-retired now. So she'll take on estate sales if it's at one of my listings or something like that. How that all progressed is then when I moved back to Phoenix, I helped her. Obviously, we started together and I helped her. So it's not my thing. Like my mother loves hoarding situations. That is her forte. People that have massive amounts of stuff, not necessarily trash, but big collectors. So she's known for that. I do all her marketing. And then on the day of the sales, I show up and do videos for the sale. I'll do a live video so people can see what's in the sale. We have a lot of fun with it. Usually she has at least 100 plus people standing in line.
Wow.
It's a big production, basically. And what's really great when it happens at one of my listings, it's all this amazing advertising for the home seller. So basically, I use the estate sale to get the home sold for more money. So that's something that's my forte locally. Just knowing when I go in and I meet with the family, I let them know the process of exactly what's going to happen. And it happens very quickly. That's what I always have to remind them of, because sometimes they're shocked at the end. They're like, wow, I didn't have time to process this. I just let them know this is going to happen fast. So be prepared for it, because there's a lot of emotions that go along with this and different feelings that we have to really understand and offer that support and let them know. I like to let people know up front, and lots of communication and that kind of stuff. So that's how I got into the business. It just happened naturally. I had always been buying and loved real estate. I got a little triplex when I was 21 and I lived in one end and rented out the other two. So that paid for it. And then my first single family home, I actually bought at an estate sale. We were called to an estate from the shop, and it was a 20s home here in downtown Glendale. So a lot of history with that. The original owner had been put into an care home, and she wanted to go to someone that was going to love it like she did. And I absolutely love that house. So I lived in that house for 12 years. But yeah, so just interesting how it's all progressed. And it's really an interesting business that I love dearly.
So to give our audience, our listeners, a little bit of our story, you and I met in a probate class, a certification class that we took together. And that's how our paths crossed. And we have a lot in common as far as our mindset and how we want to do business. Can you tell me a little bit about what the probate process is like in Arizona, just to compare that to what we have here in Texas? You have to have the letters of testamentary before you can even list a house, for instance?
Yes. So you are supposed to have your letters of testamentary before you do list. Sometimes that does not happen. But you do not have to have an attorney here in Arizona to start the process. Let me tell you, though, I've had people that have not had attorneys and it takes months. I highly recommend having legal counsel with that. If you have all your ducks in a row and you do hire an attorney, you usually can get your letters pretty quickly to be able to sell the properties. Usually you can have those letters within 2 weeks.
Wow, that is fast.
Yeah, it is fast. They have it down really well here. You know, and I think that is because we have a lot of people here. We have a lot of retirees. So unfortunately, it happens a lot here. But yeah, the process is pretty quick here. And sometimes a property has been taken out of a trust kind of thing. So I had one listing where we weren't sure if it was in the trust or not. So we went ahead and he did have an attorney, and the attorney said, go ahead and list it. And then it turned out that it was not in the trust. It had been taken out for some reason and they didn't put it back in. So what we did was we just notified the buyer, hey, closing is going to need to be extended by 2 more weeks. And so that's what happens. A lot of times people come to me or I get called that have no idea. They're from another state and they just think they can sell the house. They don't have to do anything. They have a will maybe or something like that. It's not in a trust. So then we become detectives. I don't know, Sherry, have you found that out? We help the family.
Yep.
we put on our detective hats, you know, and just in this particular circumstance, they came, they had no idea the dad, and he had taken care of anything, didn't want or need any help from these kids, didn't have any records anywhere. So ended up, one, they had to hire an attorney, it had to go through probate, and two, it had a reverse mortgage on it. And so they had no idea. We had to do a check on it through the title company and everything. So we found out who that was and had to call them, find out what the payoff was. So the payoff was enough to make it still worth their time. So I encourage any of your listeners out there, if there is a reverse mortgage on the property, you know, reach out to someone like us and find out if, with all the expenses that go through of selling a house, if it's worth it. A lot of people just walk away. And I don't know if they just don't know that they can sell it and have some kind of profit there, or they just assume that. So that's one of the things that I like to talk about, because I find that people need clarification around that.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you, Penny, is that you take the time to listen and ask good questions to your clients and try to assess what their needs are and what their goals are. And then you can facilitate making that happen.
Oh, definitely. Well, we both have went through life coach training, and that's one of the factors. And basically, having done that, personally, it changed my life. I think I became a better daughter, partner, everything, not just in the business.
For sure. But, communicator. Yeah. For sure. I could say the same thing. So you have a lot of snowbirds in Phoenix.
We sure do.
And so maybe their residence, would their home residence, homestead be, say, in Indiana somewhere? And then this second home is in Phoenix? So if they pass away when they're in Phoenix, what happens to their property there? Do they have to probate it there?
They would have to probate it here. And sometimes you can get an attorney that may hold their license in different states, or they have somebody that can help facilitate that. That's just something to keep aware
of. Because there's a lot of people in that boat.
Oh, definitely.
Tell us about a recent case that you're working on that is interesting that would fit into this audience.
So one that is definitely interesting is I have a 90-year-old lady that's living on a big lot by herself. She still drives.
She still drives.
Her house has a beneficiary deed to avoid probate. Let's say the probate process. There's some different ways. But on this particular one, a beneficiary deed, her daughter is named on the deed. So if she passes away, then the daughter can either assume that house or sell it or whatever with the death certificate. And that can be recorded at title. But what's really interesting about this one, and I feel free to say this because I come with no judgment on anyone, and this is a self-proclaimed thing on her. She called me up and she said, I'm a hoarder and I need help. And so I went. It was really amazing. And when you get to know about hoarders, they're very intelligent people. They like to read a lot. They like to keep paper. That's part of the problem. And maybe their parents had lived through the Great Depression or something like that. So there's always some reason moving forward. Or they're collectors. Having been in the antique business, people use the terminology of being an antique dealer as a reason to be a hoarder as well. I come from a family of antique dealers that are hoarders, so I totally get it. So on this one, her goal is at 90 years old, she wants to buy one of those Sprinter Mercedes vans and drive all over the world. And she's never been to Hawaii. Her and her daughter want to go to Hawaii. It's heartfelt, right? This kind of thing. I want to make this happen for them. And she has no money. Her family has no money to help her get all this stuff cleared out. You're just looking for ways to help and things like that. And through my connection at Keller Williams, someone there knows Matt Paxton of Hoarders, and he has another show on one of the cable companies. So great guy. Reached out to him and gave me some resources. And potentially the show may pick up her house. So that would be great. They're full this season, but they're going to be start filming for next season. That's one of them. Another one that I can talk about that was really interesting was a man had passed away like in a motorcycle accident. And I go to meet with the family. The family's great. They have some that live out of state or whatever. And then they get their letters of testamentary and I list the house. And then I get a phone call from one of the sisters who's running the show. And so she calls me and she says, hey, when my brother died, he had crossed out my other brother's name and written my name in to be the executor of the estate. and initialed it. She said, now the other brother is going to take this in court and contest it. And I went, oh my gosh. And we had just gotten a contract on this house, a really great contract, right? And she said, well, the lawyer says, and my brother is in agreement. Her brother was a real estate agent in another state, but he feels as well that, yes, we need to accept this contract. We got a court date. We had a post on the door. We had a post in papers about the court date and if there was anybody. And then I had to go to court and testify that the family was in agreement to sell the house. So we had to extend the contract again for the buyer. And luckily, they were all in. This was a really spectacular house. So it took another 2 to 3 weeks, but we did get it closed. So that was an interesting one, that the family was in agreement on selling the house. Another interesting one I've had is you have people call you, right? And they're coming from somewhere else. They could be coming from across the country or coming from another part of the world. I don't know. But this was one of my early ones. And so the father here had passed away. And he had an extensive estate. He had a lot of things. We had an amazing estate sale there. There was hundreds of people in line. His only relative, which was a son, which I didn't even know we still had this. He was in the Foreign Service in a war-torn country in Africa. So talk about people worried about getting things signed and stuff like that. Initially, we met with him on the estate sale and on the listing. And then he was like, well, when the house sells, I can't come back. I'm not going to be able to be here. So this was an interesting one. So we had to get him to an American embassy to sign when it was coming close to closing. Right. So everybody was aware of the situation and all that. But anytime somebody came on or off the base, there was bomb sniffing dogs and it was a really dangerous situation. So he needed a police escort to get to an American embassy somewhere like an hour and a half away. So, yeah. So when people tell me, oh, I got to come from California to Arizona or something like that, yeah. They say, hey, I got a good one for you.
Right, right.
Oh, my goodness. But what's great, quickly, because I know you probably have to answer the question a lot. People don't need to be here to be in the vicinity of it to be taken care of. Sometimes I never even get to meet them. I just get keys. Either a neighbor has keys, they give it to me, they give me the keys, or I get them FedEx to me. And I never, ever see the person, meet them in person or anything like that. It's just over the phone and all that kind of stuff. So I just want to let people know as well, you don't actually have to set foot at the property to have all this done. And that's including an estate sale done and everything.
I had a client recently and beneficiaries were in California and the family was in Canada. The property was here in Texas. And so they could tell me what they needed to be done. And as boots on the ground, like you're describing, I can go and carry out those things. And at one point I needed to get the cremated remains to send those to Canada. And you can't just put them on the UPS. There are certain protocols to get them through the customs. You have to go back to the crematorium where the cremation took place. Right. And I was sitting there for a while, just taking in what a gift it is for the family, not to have to fly in and stay overnight somewhere to pick up the ashes or to make these decisions, but how they can have someone that they trust locally to carry those things out in their place. It was a neat moment for me to just sit there and pause and be grateful for what I can do.
Yeah, it's, I get it. And I'm sure you do too. Letters of thanks, like, I couldn't have done this without you. And we really appreciate it. And like you and I were talking earlier, it's just something we do. These people are going through very trying times. And if we can alleviate any of that or any of that stress, it does make a big difference. We have a whole network of people, movers, cleaners, or attorneys, or a handyman type thing to come in. And it's really a great service. And at the end of the day, which I'm sure you feel as well, I feel very satisfied that I was able to help facilitate whatever needs to be done.
For sure. And really, when I think about the person that's grieving, that has to make all of these decisions on top of whatever they have going on in their life, because a life doesn't stop when probate begins. I mean, I've heard of other agents say, well, call the repairman when you get the house fixed up, then call me and I'll list it. That's one more thing for them to do. They don't need one more thing to do. They need that delegated. And those repairmen need to be viable and qualified and capable and efficient.
Well, and sometimes, Sherry, they don't even need those services. So I sell a lot of properties at great prices that they need being cleaned up, of course, so somebody can get in the door and see the possibilities. But a lot of times, especially here in Phoenix, and I'm sure it's the same in Houston, they're going to sell to investors and they're going to come in. And like I just met with somebody at the beginning of last week and they wanted, it's a 1950s house, you know, original owner. And the investors are going to come in and they're going to rip the walls out, you know, and they wanted to put new carpet and paint. And so you don't really need to spend the money because that's not the type of person who's going to buy this. It didn't need those things. So that would have been money wasted. Some of them, yes, definitely. You need painting and just cleaning. But a lot of them, especially these older homes, don't need that done.
Right. Well, that brings me to a question that I wanted to ask you, Penny. And that is, there's a zillion real estate agents in Phoenix like there are in Houston. And there are some that have worked with probate, although there are some that are like, no, it's probate. I don't want to do that. Right. What do you do that separates you from other agents in Phoenix that work with probate and seniors that really separates you from the pack?
Well, one, I think it's communication. There's a lot of communication with any of my clients. We'll just put it that way. I deal more in listings and I do buyers, but I am happy to take on buyers as well. So at least they will hear from me at least once a week. They'll probably be sick of me by the end of the transaction because I feel like we got to get them prepared. I'd rather talk about things up front and then I can remind them because it's a lot selling a house and a lot of different steps you have to go through. But it's better to educate them up front. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that. Yeah. So communication, definitely, you know, my background with estate sales, knowing how to liquidate things. I've liquidated everything, believe me, boats, motorhomes, and I'll deal with anything. So I have right now a manufactured home listing in a park, all the way up to $1 million things. So I will sell anything for anybody. I'm not prejudice and price point or anything like that. I'm a shoulder to lean on in the transaction and we're going to be best friends during the whole thing. I'm in the trenches with them, doing whatever needs to be done. And some people are, they want to do things their own ways. And a lot of people just guidance, whatever needs to be done. Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you find that's exciting about your work?
Well, you just never know, right? So you never know who you're going to meet, what you're going to see. I get bored easy. So that keeps it exciting. Sometimes a little bit too exciting, but it's the satisfaction of doing a job well and helping somebody to get through something. I also do divorce. I didn't know if I told you that.
No.
I pick all the hard ones, basically, and I'm happy about helping people through these stages of life. That gives me satisfaction and just knowing that you can get them to another place, whether it be selling a property, helping them to maybe get all their trust things established, and just helping them along. Because I think you and I work the same. We're advocates for people, no matter if they buy or sell a house with us. You know, we just want to help them get to a better place in their life. Yeah,
absolutely. I could underline that, highlight it there. That's a really big thing for me.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that surprised you? I mean, you've been at this for so long now. I don't know if anything can surprise you anymore, but was there something where you thought, oh, I never saw that coming. I didn't expect that to show up.
No. And I'm one of those people, I think, that you can spring a lot of things on me. And I'm the person that's waiting in the grocery store line and complete strangers come up to me and tell me things I don't want to hear. Believe me, I don't know why. I don't know why that happens. But
I have the same thing. And they'll say, I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like I've heard it all. I've seen it all. And not just in real estate, just in life in general. That's nothing ever surprises me much. And that's what I always tell people, because a lot of people feel a lot of shame. Maybe their parents, they didn't come as often as they want. And maybe things got on out of control. Maybe the house wasn't as clean as they had wanted, or repairs weren't done or something like that. And I always tell people, there's no shame. And I've seen it all. It is what it is. And let's just get through this and make it happen for the family.
Well, that season of life is so complicated. There's so many emotions that are in conflict with one another. And I think that especially in the adult children that have been away for a while that come back, they might feel like that house or that condition was a reflection on them. So to have someone that's non-judgmental and confidential in that, I think is really important.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you feel the same way too, because it's important.
For sure. So if someone was listening, and let's just say it's an adult child whose parent has recently passed away and they're going to be starting probate, what would you want them to have together in a file, say, so that they could get things to you and you could get the ball rolling as quickly as possible? What would help streamline that process?
Basically, and especially if there is going to be an estate sale involved there. So the best thing is to call me right away. I'd rather be called like at the same time you're meeting with lawyers, and then we can walk through the property. We can talk about what the family is taking out and what does need to be done with the house and how all it's going to work out. So on the paperwork, I just need to make sure, you know, that they have a death certificate. And then when they get their letters of testamentary, I need to know when that happens. I don't necessarily need them. We just need to provide them to the title company when the time is right. And then I just make sure whoever had the house, do we know who they had insurance with? Because we have to provide a clue report for that for the last 5 years. Seller disclosures, we need to fill that out up front. So I want to get as much done up front as possible before the listing goes active. If it's an estate sale, I like to advertise it with the advertising of the estate sale, because that goes out to 15,000 people, basically. So you get a lot of eyes on that. We open the door for the estate sale. We open the door for people to come in and look at the house all at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it creates a real excitement. People are like, there's
a lot of buzz.
High energy going on in the house. And then I also have people that help me. So we have them like on a table out front. So if anybody does come to see the house, we have information on that. And then, of course, during the estate sale, you do have rooms closed off, like small bathrooms and stuff like that. So then they're able to show the house, those rooms that are closed off and all that. So we make it a big to-do. We have giant flags outside advertising the open house and the estate sale. And I wouldn't be surprised. The last one I did like that, and it was when the market was slow and we had 6 offers. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
So it really does make a big difference.
Sure. And for the family to have that bidding war going on, you can get the price up a little higher.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So we want to do that and help them realize the most they can do in the current market.
I think listening to your process, and there's contracts and things, I'm sure that you have them sign along the way. So there would be some administrative stuff that's heavy at the beginning with the attorney and the letters and getting things signed and all of that. But once that's done, you guys, sounds like you guys have taken the rest of the load off of the family and they can just coast from there.
Yeah.
You guys are going to clean it out. And after you have the estate sale, the stuff that doesn't sell, what happens to that?
So that's determined by the family. So it can either be donated, and that all looks different. Some people might want it to be donated to a certain charity. So
sure,
then we have that already where the charity comes in. Or there could be a buyout where somebody at the end just offers one price for whatever's left. And really, that's a service. You're not getting much money for that. You know, it's a service. It's being cleaned out and then it's all taken away. And or it can be left for the family to deal with, which if the house is up for sale, we may have a contract or something that sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't, but it can be moved into the garage or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's all very personal, but personal to what the person wants and what their wishes are and their solutions. I think we've done just about everything.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great relief for the families in Phoenix.
It really is. And I always hear, oh, it's shocking. Again, I didn't think it happened so quickly, and everything gets taken care of once. So that's what's nice about my mom and I, that they can just hand us the key and then they can just forget about it for a little bit, you know,
right.
And just know that when they come back, it's all going to be taken care of. Yeah.
What is something that was a common question you get around this?
Okay. So the question that I get most often, and something that I see most often, is just about the process, obviously, how it all works. But one of the things that I see that I like to tell people that they don't know is if they go in and they are going to have an estate sale, don't donate anything. Just take the very personal things out and then leave everything else. So if it needs to be thrown away or donated at the end, then obviously we will do that during the time that we're there. And then we keep a little box there. If we come across photos, money, we throw all that in, anything that we see that we think the family's going to need or whatever. And then questions are just the typical questions about the process. What's the days on market in the area? How soon is it going to sell? What's it going to sell for? The normal.
Sure. As far as the real estate goes, what do you charge? How do you come to fees for the estate sale? Is that a percentage of the sale?
Okay. So basically how that works, it is a percentage. It's all inclusive. Different estate sale companies run their businesses different. So a lot will make you pay for their help. We don't do that. And we don't make people pay for advertising or any additional expenses. So that's all inclusive. Part of that percentage also includes like how much cleaning needs to be done, if a dumpster needs to be brought in, anything like that. So
prep work leading up to the estate sale. Yeah.
So to make things sell, you need to clean them and organize them. Like you want to show them in their best light to get them to sell. And my mom's a real stickler. She likes to price everything in the estate. It just makes it easier when people come to check it out. There's no arguing over pricing. And it just goes so much quicker. I mean, she may bulk price things, but everything in the house basically gets a price, which really works out well. We've tried it the other way. It's a mess.
So it sounds like it could be, I don't know, a couple of weeks or a month maybe to prepare for an estate sale.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Okay. She had one that was an apartment complex. These people had lived in it since the 50s. They had it built. And it looks like they got dissatisfied with renting it out. So they filled all these two bedroom. There were six units that were two bedroom, one bath with vintage things. And then they had a house in the corner, which was bigger. And I think it took her 2 months to price that. And we, oh my goodness, people still talk about that one. I'll see people and they'll recognize me. Sometimes I don't know them that come. I'm pretty good with faces, not so great with names. And they'll say, oh my gosh, we came to that estate sale at that apartment complex like 2 years ago. Oh my goodness. So that one was absolutely crazy. We had two cashiers going and we just couldn't. Lines everywhere, hundreds and hundreds of people everywhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're very interesting as well, that it's just a nice, I don't know, just a nice service for people, I feel.
Yeah. And I think that it's neat that you and your mom get to work that together and then service the families. You're both working together for the family at the same time. And I think that that's a really neat, unique thing that you guys do in Phoenix. So Penny, how can people find you online or LinkedIn or where are you?
Well, the simplest way to get a hold of me is just to call me. You can text me, email me. So 602-697-9638. Again, it's 602-697-9638. Yeah. Right. And call me about anything. I love talking to people. I'd rather answer my phone. I'll tell you what, I answer my phone. If it goes to voicemail, that just means I'm either on the other line or I'm out with a client, meeting with a client. So it's just easier to pick up the phone than have to call somebody back. So I love talking to people and answering my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a rarity these days.
I know. Yeah, definitely.
Penny, thank you so much for your time. You've got so much to talk about, such a wealth of information on so many levels. And I know you are one busy lady. So I appreciate you carving out some time today to talk to me on the podcast here.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Sherry. It's been a pleasure, and I'm really excited for what you're doing there.
Thank you so much, Penny. Yeah. You have a good rest of your day.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
That's all I have for now. New episodes of the Probate Podcast will come out on Thursdays. I also have a free public support group called Houston Probate Support on Facebook. You don't have to live in the greater Houston area to be a member, but I'd love to have you join me there. I'd love to have you join me on any of these platforms, including this podcast, and I'll share the links of where you can find me in the show notes below. I'm looking forward to us connecting. See you next time, and remember, you matter.